Yeah, well, that's right. But right now we're going to go to the two stories of David and Solomon. And so we'll go to 2 Samuel 12:24. We will begin, most of us will all be in 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, and 1 Chronicles. And this is about Solomon.
You said 12:24?
Yeah. And we all know about Solomon, and obviously David and Bathsheba, the story with them, and their child dies. And so this is where we're resuming. And 24, and David consoled Bathsheba, his wife, and went unto her and lay with her. And she bare a son and called his name Solomon. And Yahweh loved him. I think there's another thing, other child I ever think of that being said about. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, which is another christening, and called his name, probably Yedidah, beloved of Yah, for Yahweh's sake. So that's an introduction of Solomon and David. So now we go to 2 Samuel 3:2.
2 Samuel?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're still here. We're going to look at the sons of David. 2 Samuel 3:2. Yeah, I just went too far. And you want to read that, Wendy?
And there were born unto David sons in Hebron, and it came to pass that his firstborn was Amnon by Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and his second Shelah by Abigail, wife of Nabal the Carmelite, and the third Absalom, son of Maacah, daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. And the fourth, Adonijah, son of Higgith. And the fifth, Shephatiah, son of Alital. And the sixth, Ithream, by Eglah, wife of David. These were born unto David in Hebron.
So this is the main story. So if you ever want to look at the sons, because one's born in Jerusalem, and Solomon, it looks like he's about the ninth or tenth in a row. So it's kind of... So let's say ninth, but all of a sudden it's like 10 sons all together. And another place where you've got 11 sons of David just in Jerusalem. And so Bollinger thinks maybe some of them are died when they say this.
Okay.
But that's in 1 Chronicles 3:1-9, 2 Samuel 5:13-16. But the kings and Samuel, the book of Samuel. We all know about Ammon, which is interesting. That's the first son of David in Hebron. And his name means faithful. It comes from the word Ammon. That's interesting.
That's interesting.
And obviously he raped his sister, his stepsister, and was murdered by Absalom. None of these incidents are going to be in the book of Chronicles. They don't exist. So we're going to see in the book of Chronicles, there's only two. There's David and there's Solomon. That's it. The third son's never really, it doesn't have a place in 2 Samuel, is Absalom. He's the third son, meaning Ab. What's Ab mean?
Father.
And what's Salom mean?
Peace.
Peace. So my father is peace. Absalom. And in 2 Samuel 15:10, we're going to be going all over the place, but to bring in the two accounts that shows you the whole. 15:10. And Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, when you hear the sound of the horn, Then shall you say, Absalom hath become king in Hebron. So we see a coup going on. But we have no mention in here of Solomon being king, being an anointed king. All we know is in 2 Samuel, Yahweh says he loves him and gives him a name. But according to here, Solomon's not part of 2 Samuel. Let's go now to Adonijah, which is the fourth son. So, you know, hierarchy is generally the king would give his first son, and that's what you see in the kings and different things like that, but that's not here. Adonijah is 1 Kings 1:5. And Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying what?
I will be king.
I will be king. Another coup is going on. This is only happens in these books. And Adonijah means, Adon means what?
Lord.
Lord, and Yah. Lord is Yahweh.
Yahweh is my Lord.
So Adonijah, if you look at 1 Kings 1, and now we go through 10 through 13, it's going to look at, if we read 2 Samuel and Kings, it looks like nobody is aware that Solomon was supposed to be king, at least in the kingdom. And we're going to read 10 through 13. So okay. If you want to read, 1 Kings chapter 1, 10 verse 13. Read that, Melania.
But Nathan the prophet and Benaiah and the mighty men of Solomon, his brother, he invited not. Then spake.
Well, I guess we ought to say this. So Adonijah is throwing a banquet, anointing himself being king, while David is old. Nathan says something's wrong with this, so he goes into King David, who is sick. And now he's explaining things. So let's start over at verse 10 again.
All right. But Nathan the prophet and Benaiah and the mighty men of Solomon, his brother, he invited not. Then spake Nathan unto Bathsheba, mother of Solomon, saying, Hast thou not heard that
Adonijah,
son of Haggith, hath become king, and our Lord David knoweth it not. Now therefore come, and let me give thee counsel, I pray thee, so shalt thou rescue thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon. Go and get thee in unto King David, and thou shalt say unto him, Didst not thou thyself, my lord, O king, swear unto thy handmaid, saying, Solomon thy son shall become king after me, yea, he shall sit upon my throne? Why hath Adonijah become king?
Good point. And then all of a sudden he says, I will come in later and do the same thing. So in 28, and Nathan comes in and says the same thing. So in 28, David says, Then responded King David and said, Call me Bathsheba. And she came in before the king and stood before the king. And the king swear and said, By the life of Yahweh, who hath redeemed my life or soul out of every strait, even as I swear unto thee by Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, saying, Surely, Solomon thy son shall become king after me. Yea, he shall sit upon my throne in my stead. Even so will I do it this day. Another thing that's not mentioned is, Yahweh said this. Not David. Yahweh chose Solomon. So Bathsheba bowed her face to the ground and did homage unto the king and said, Let my lord King David live to time's age abiding. Then said King David, Call me Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah son of Jehoiada. And they came in before the king. Then said the king unto them, Take ye with you the servants of your lord and cause Solomon my son to ride upon the mule which pertaineth unto myself, and bring him down unto Gihon, Then shall Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there as king over Israel, and he shall blow with the horn and say, Long live King Solomon. So Solomon was David's 9th or 10th son, but it appears that the kingdom was not aware that he was supposed to be king. And it appears that Nathan knew it, and Bathsheba knew it, and David knew it. But it doesn't appear that anybody else does it. Now, when we go into Chronicles, we're going to hear a whole other story, a whole other situation altogether. So you have to bring the two together to say, hey, they did know it. And so these people knew it. Adonijah knew it. Absalom knew it. And Amnon knew it also. So everybody knew it, that Solomon was going to be king. So now you're looking at, even in this particular deal, the
total betrayal.
Yeah, the total betrayal, a coup upon the weakness of David. So let's see here. So you don't have the other sons. So if you Google, not Google, but you go ahead and go through and look for the word Absalom, Adonijah, and the rest of his sons, you're going to see them in the chronology only. But there's no story about them. There's only Solomon, or David, and Solomon. So the house of Yahweh, after they numbered him, so remember where the temple is being built, where the Holy of Holies is going to be built, is by the threshing floor. And so we're going to begin there. And that's 2 Samuel 2:24-25. Back to 2 Samuel
2.
And we're going to look at chronology of when did this all come into effect with the king. And really, the time clock started with the numbering of Israel, the plague that came, for David to build an altar upon the threshing floor, and Yahweh to consecrate it by sending fire out of heaven to start the fire. And that's where the Ark of the Covenant is going to be, at the Holy of Holies.
Now, what,
that was, you know, closer to the end of David's ministry. So it was 2 Samuel 24:25.
Oh, I thought
you said 2. You did say 2, right?
Yeah, 2 Samuel. Did I say 2 Samuel?
2.
24, sorry.
2:24.
No, just 2 Samuel 24, verse 25. There is no 2:24.
24.
3:48.
So in the Samuel and Kings, here's the story. So David, well, it's 24, but the king said unto Onunah,
Arona,
and that's Onan in the Chronicles, same person. Nay, but I will buy it of thee for a price, and will not cause to ascend unto Yahweh my Elohim offerings that cost me nothing. So David brought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver, and David built there an altar unto Yahweh, and caused to go up ascending sacrifices and peace offerings. Then was Yahweh entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. 1 Kings 1. Now King David was old, advanced in days, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. So it looked like stage 1, stage 2. Okay? The plague ends, but now David's old. Well, what about that time period of gathering everything for the
temple?
For the temple.
Yeah.
According to this, it says David's old. They give a girl to keep him warm. And why do they do that?
Heated blanket.
Yeah, it is. If you cannot generate body heat, so always remember this too, putting a blanket on you is not going to do you any good. And so if a person has gone into hypothermia, I think, what you've got to do is take their clothes off and probably keep their underwear on, and then you take your clothes off and get in there. And you're going to generate heat onto them and then trap with the blankets. That's how you say it. But if somebody fell into a river and you take their clothes off and put a blanket on them, it's not going to do it. If you had an electric blanket, you could. But you've got to realize, and that's with him, so he probably has some illness where he could not generate.
Low blood pressure.
Yeah, very low blood pressure, like that. Nani was like that, you know. You had to have external heat coming all the time, but that's where it was. Okay. Now, let's look at First Chronicles,
okay,
how it handles this.
Now, you're going to
First Chronicles 21, about the temple, the numbering of Israel. How does it state this? 21, verse 28.
I'm sorry, what chapter?
21, verse 28. And at that time, when David saw that Yahweh had answered him in the threshing floor of Onan, the Jebusite, then he... let's just look at 26, because this is how Yahweh works. It's a sign about fire coming down out of heaven. And that's how the first altar was done with Moses. Fire came down from heaven, and that's in Exodus. We saw it also right here. And we see it also with Solomon when they actually build the temple. And I think there's another place. But let's go on 26. And David built there an altar unto Yahweh and caused it to go up, ascending sacrifice and peace offerings, and called unto Yahweh, and he responded to him, how?
By fire
out of the heavens, upon the altar of ascending sacrifices. So this place is holy as of today. Yahweh's coming back to Jerusalem.
Aren't we the holy of holies now?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that this, the threshing floor of Onan, you know, it's not there anymore. Probably the mosque is over it right now. But it's coming back where Christ is going to rebuild the temple, and that's probably, whatever that is, like the core of the universe, the center of the universe, mm-hmm, for Yahweh, because we're coming back to these positions.
It's like a port.
Yeah.
It's Yahweh's port.
And 28, at that time when David saw that Yahweh had answered him in the threshing floor of Onan, the Jebusite, then he sacrificed there. But the habitation of Yahweh, which Moses made in the desert, and the altar of ascending sacrifice, were at that time in the high place at Gibeon, which I think is about 6 miles away. And David could not go before it to seek Elohim, for he had been terrified because of the sword of the messenger of Yahweh, the plague. Then said David, this is the house of Yahweh Elohim, and this is the altar of ascending sacrifices for Israel. And 23:1, now we got all of 22. Remember in 2 Samuel, we went from the threshing floor to David is old. Verse 1, okay, David is old. Now we got a whole chapter that's not doing that. And we go into 23:1, that's chapter 22.
Are we at 23:1.
Now David was old and satisfied with days, so he made Solomon his son king of Israel. 22 is the gathering of the things for the temple.
Building material.
No, you're talking about years. You know, actually, it has to be years.
Yeah, 10 years maybe. Okay,
let's look at that. 2, and David gave word to gather together the sojourners who were in the land of Israel. They were the woodcutters. And he said,
okay. Where are you?
In 22:2. As building the house of Elohim, and iron in abundance for nails, for the doors, for the gates, for the hooks that David prepared. And you go all the way through here, which we'll come back to. So we're talking about, I don't know, years I'm thinking of to prepare for the altar, for the temple. So the other kings, it looked like, we found out where the temple is going to be, but then David's about ready to die. And Adonijah does a coup, right? There's no building of the temple.
In 1 Kings.
Yeah, 1 Kings. And the end of 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, it looks like bam, bam, Adonijah's king, and because people don't know that Solomon's supposed to be king. And the only people that know it appears to be
Nathan.
Bathsheba and Nathan and David. That's not the story. And without looking at this book, that's what would be the story. Now we go to 1 Chronicles 22:2-19, which we just began. But let's just go right to verse 7, 22 verse 7. You know, well, that's 6, I guess. Then he called for Solomon, remember? This is after the revelation that we're going to build the temple here. Then he called for Solomon his son and charged him to build a house for Yahweh Elohim of Israel. And David said to Solomon his son, as for me, it was near my heart to build a house for the name of Yahweh thy Elohim, my Elohim. But the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, blood in abundance hast thou shed, and great wars hast thou made. Thou shalt not build a house for my name, because much blood has been shed upon the earth before me. Now listen to this. Well, lo, a son born to thee. So it appears, you know, when David wanted to build a house, that Solomon had not been born yet.
Yeah.
Lo, a son born to thee, he shall be a man of rest, that's peace, Solomon, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about, for Solomon shall be his name. And Yahweh actually named him before he's actually born, because it says here, lo, a son is born unto thee. And it doesn't tell you that in Kings. It looks like Bathsheba and David named him Solomon.
Well, David's talking to Solomon here.
Yeah. And Solomon shall be his name. But he says, lo, a son. Remember, and David said to Solomon his son, but the word of Yahweh came unto me saying, remember the word of Yahweh came unto me saying, lo, so Yahweh's talking here, lo, a son born to thee, he shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from his enemies round about. That's Yahweh. So Solomon shall be his name, and peace and quietness will I bestow upon Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father. So look at this whole relationship before Solomon is even born.
And this is when David is telling Solomon what Yahweh said.
Yeah, but therefore will I establish the throne of his kingdom of Israel unto time's age abiding. Now, I have a hypothesis. Now, this is not quite the subject, but the difference between Kings and Chronicles, the difference between David and Solomon, is Christ's two ministries. So Christ was a warrior when he came to the earth and died like David was a warrior. Okay? So he had a fight. So David had a fight. Christ had a fight. When Christ comes back on the 1,000-year new kingdom, he's not fighting. It's going to be a land of peace. So now he's acting as Solomon. So Christ is David and he's Solomon. You've got two different characters. One was to battle, to subdue the Philistines, to grab the nations, everything else. And the second time when he comes back, he's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, like Solomon is, and he's going to build the temple like Solomon did. So, David and Solomon, and this is why in Chronicles, it looks like Solomon lives happily ever after. In Kings, he didn't. The wealth and riches that came to Solomon looked like Yahweh's trying to kill him by making him that rich and that wise and that smart. Well, how stupid would a parent give to do that to a son? Because then he doesn't need you anymore. Well, no. If that's for Christ, that's what's reflected.
So, that's what you what?
So think of Christ reading Chronicles. This is about Christ. And he's going to be wiser than anybody else. He's going to be richer than anybody else. It's not going to go to his head.
Right.
And so all the wealth, he has this, and you know, Chronicles is full of all the wealth and the wisdom and everything. And you can say, well, that must, you know, be about Christ, because he can handle all that. That's sidetracked. So think of that as David. And Solomon, Christ is being both. His first advent, his second advent. And advent means coming.
I always thought of him as being a lamb the first time and a lion when he comes back.
Well, same thing. He was sacrificed, but David could not build the temple. Solomon could. Christ went in and overthrew the temple and said, tear it down, and in 3 days I will rebuild it.
Yeah.
And when he comes back, he's going to rebuild it. But now we go to, where was I? Oh, verse 11. And now my son, Yahweh be with thee, so shalt thou be prosperous, and shalt build the house of Yahweh, thy Elohim, just like Christ is going to do, just like Cyrus did, King Cyrus, according as he has spoken concerning thee. Only give Yahweh thee discretion and understanding, and give thee charge over Israel, so that you take heed unto the law of Yahweh, the Elohim. And it goes on and on, and now we go to 17. Now remember, it appears that only Nathan, David, and Bathsheba knew about Solomon. And David charged all the rulers of Israel to help Solomon his son.
Wow.
Mm. Is not Yahweh your God with you, and hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given into thy hand the inhabitants of this land, and subdued is the land before Yahweh, before his people. Now apply your hearts and your soul to seek unto Yahweh your Elohim, and then arise and build the sanctuary of Yahweh Elohim, that you may bring the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh and the holy vessel of Elohim into the house which has been built for the name of Yahweh. Very important too, this is sidetracked too. What was so special about the Ark of the Covenant?
It
was a box.
With Yahweh's word.
What was special about it?
Remembrance.
It was Yahweh's word.
What was in it?
His word.
And yeah, no, that's the whole point. It's not the box.
No.
It was what was in the box. The word.
And the man.
Yahweh. Debir. Remember Debir.
Speaking place.
Debir is the Holy of Holies from Debar, which means word. It means oracle.
Speaking place, right?
Yeah. This is where the word is where Yahweh speaks. You want to know Yahweh? You come here.
Amen.
You want to hear from Yahweh? You come right here. If you don't have time for this, you don't have time
right,
for Yahweh.
Right.
All right? You want him to give you a one-on-one situation? Not going to waste his time in that situation. So just remember that. Now we go to 23:1. Now David was old and satisfied. Remember, God in Kings, the altar, we knew where Yahweh was supposed to be, and then David's old and satisfied. Mm-hmm. Adonijah's going to do a coup. And then Solomon becomes king, kind of as an afterthought. No big ceremony coming up to make him king. You know, Adonijah's having a party down here where they make Solomon a king up here, and there might be 10 people, and they blow the horn and brings other people there, but it's no big ceremony because it was stopping the coup. Remember that? Read it if you don't remember that. Now David was old and satisfied with days, so he made Solomon his son king of Israel. Now you're going to go from 23 now to 28. This is still going on, all these chapters now. Remember, in Kings, none of that's in Kings. 28:1-11.
Wait.
And David called together all the rulers of Israel, the rulers of tribes, and the rulers of the courses who waited upon the king. Okay, who are we broadcasting to now?
Rulers.
The rulers. And the rulers of thousands, the rulers of hundreds, and the rulers over all the possessions and substance that belonged to the king and to his sons, with the courage of the heroes, even unto heroes of valor, unto Jerusalem. Then David, the king, rose up on his feet and said, hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, it was near my heart to build a house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh, for the footstool of our Elohim, that I may build, ready to build. But Elohim said to me, thou shalt not build a house for my name, for a man of war thou art, blood hast thou shed. Let's go down to verse 6. Go 5. And from among all my sons, for many sons hath Yahweh given me, he hath made choice of Solomon my son. So the rulers know about Solomon also to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of Yahweh and over Israel. He said unto me, Solomon thy son, he shall build my house and my courts. Another thing I do is I just wonder if Adonijah, Absalom would have never built the temple. So think about that. And really, so what is happening with Satan? Amon was the first son, Absalom's the third son, Adonijah the fourth son, all creeps. That this is really an overthrow of the kingdom, not to build Yahweh's temple.
Wow.
Now think about that.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think they would have, because it keeps going back, Solomon's going to build it, Solomon's going to build it, Solomon's going to build it. And they might have just consumed all the material, made house for themselves, and kept everything down in Gibeon.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
That's neat, Dave.
Yeah. And because it says here, and he said unto me in verse 6, Solomon thy son, he shall build my house, my courts, for I have made choice of him that he may be my son, and that I may be his father. So will I establish his kingdom. Now this is Yahweh saying, he is my son. Solomon's my son.
Hmm.
Yahweh's son is Solomon.
Has he ever said that anywhere? I mean, before
this? Yeah, I don't know yet. But
except for with Yahushua.
And let's see. Let's see here. So I will establish his kingdom unto times age abiding. And this is always reflecting upon Christ. That's really a time age abiding. His kingdom will never end. If he be strong to do my commandments, my regulations as this day. Now, therefore, in the eyes of all Israel, the convocation of Yahweh, in the ears of our Elohim, observe and seek all the commandments of Yahweh, your Elohim. Now we go to 29:1. Then said David the king unto the convocation. So now we had the rulers, and now we're talking to everybody, the convocation. Solomon, my son, the one of whom Elohim, who has made
choice.
Who chose the king of Israel?
Yeah,
Yahweh did with David.
Wow. And
he did with Saul too.
Yeah, he did with Saul.
Wow.
With David. And now he has chosen not Adonijah. He did not chose Absalom. He did not show Amon.
Just like David and his brothers. He chose David
out of all of them. Yeah, he chose David out of all of them. Yeah. It's Solomon that he chose. Is young and tender, and the work is great, seeing that not for man is this palace, but for Yahweh Elohim. Now we go to 29:20-28. Let's just go through 22-25, but you'll be able to read that. So did they eat.
Wait, you said 20.
Yeah, I'm going to be in 29. Second, 1 Chronicles 29. 22-25. I'll just go at 20. And this kind of ends the teaching. Then said David unto all the convocation. See, none of this is in Kings. Bless, I beseech you, Yahweh your Elohim. And he doesn't seem sick either here. You know, he's out there really doing these things.
Yeah, it says Solomon's real young.
Yeah, and actually, David was so sick that he couldn't be at the anointing. Remember? And so Bathsheba comes in to him. He's sick. And it looks like he's dying. Nathan comes in unto him. He says, take my mule. Instead of David going out there and being with him, to show it, take my mule, take this, and he's not even there when Solomon's being crowned in Kings. Let's see here.
Then said,
I'm just going to say, start at 20 again. Then said David unto all the convocation, bless I beseech you, Yahweh your Elohim. So all the convocation bless Yahweh, the Elohim of their fathers, and did bend their heads and bow themselves down unto Yahweh and unto the king. Here's another thing too. That's the word bow down. They're going to say worship. They bow down to Yahweh and unto the what? The king. We can't worship a king. So just remember, we know what they're talking about. You bow down to kings. And so don't use that word worship. You just say bow down. And that's what it means. And sacrifice unto Yahweh, sacrifices and causes to go up, ascending offerings unto Yahweh on the, and another example too, ascending offerings, everybody else will say burnt offerings, but the Hebrew word really means to ascend. Now it is going to be burnt, the offering is going to be completely consumed, but that's not what the word says. Ascending means
it's going up.
Prayers like Yahweh. Like that's incense ascends. The fire ascends. The smoke ascends. That means that is directed to Yahweh who's in the heavens. And cause to go up ascending offerings unto Yahweh on the morrow of that day, 1,000 bullocks, 1,000 rams, 1,000 young sheep. Boy, that's quite a barbecue.
That's a lot of blood.
And the drink offerings thereof, a sacrifice in abundance for all Israel. And so they did eat and drink before Yahweh on that day with great joy. And they, the second time, look at this, made Solomon, son of David, king, and anointed him unto Yahweh to be chief ruler and Zadok to be his priest. So Solomon took his seat upon the throne of who?
Yahweh.
Yahweh, that's Christ.
Wow.
See, it never says the throne of Yahweh. As king, instead of David his father, and prosper, and all Israel hearkened unto him. And all the rulers and the heroes, yea, moreover, all the sons of King David, gave a hand unto Solomon the king. Well, Adonijah's dead, Absalom's dead, Amon is dead, so the rest of the kings, okay, you better go with the program.
Yeah.
Learn from your other brothers.
Get his drift?
Yeah. And Yahweh magnifies Solomon, you know, because he says, that's my son. Magnifies Solomon, so this is going to be Christ. Exceedingly beyond the eyes of all Israel, and gave unto him a royal majesty that has not been on any king before him over Israel. That's why reflection onto Christ.
What is the royal majesty?
Pardon me?
What does that mean?
Well, it's just got to mean that there's no king ever adorned, spoke, and that's what they're talking about. If you look, read this, you know, he had 3,000 proverbs. He knew about every kind of fish, birds, any kind of knowledge that you have. He wrote songs. He wrote proverbs. He wrote, I mean, just that was it. So, of all the people in the world, there is nobody like this until Christ comes along. And Christ is really, this is a foreshadowing, because that's the word, it's a foreshadowing of Yahushua, Mashiach. And so he can read this and say, that's you, son.
Amen.
Thus David, son of Jesse, reigned over all of Israel. The days that he reigned over Israel were 40 years. In Hebron reigned he 7 years, and in Jerusalem reigned he 33. And he died in a good old age, satisfied with days, riches and honor, and Solomon his son reigned in his stead. And that's it.
Makes me think of Adam. The first Adam might have been like that with that kind of wisdom.
Yeah.
Every animal. No, here's all this stuff. But
this could be an explanation of why, you know, you spoil the kid. You know, Solomon.
Well, and he even says that about his one son. Nothing he ever did the kid did David tell him he was doing something wrong.
Absalom.
But this is.
No, it wasn't Absalom.
This was.
Yeah. But this can be another illustration. Well, if it's reflecting Christ, then that's a whole other story. Possible explanation.
Cool.
Okay, so we'll have a prophecy according to 1 Corinthians 14. And sign off. Well, Father, we thank you for these words. Do not be fearful. Fear is a lack of faith in me. I am your sufficiency. I am your strength. So do not look at your own strength, because your own strength will fail. But my strength will not fail you. As you meditate upon my strength and as you walk forth, as I instruct your heart, I guide you with Ruach HaKodesh in order that you may be strong and you may be an overcomer in all things. Amen. See you next week.
Amen.
Oh, that was...